The views, opinions, and discussions expressed on this show are those of the host or guest, and not necessarily those of NMJC, its employees, or board of directors.
Good morning, friends. Welcome. It's Lee County with Lindsay on a March. Yes, it is indeed a March morning. Beautiful weather, actually, for the last couple of days. We'll see where it takes us. I think you fabulous moisture lovers are in for a treat for the next 24 hours or so. Hopefully it'll warm back up and get out before the time changes, because I think that's this weekend as well. So big things happening, but not nearly as big and exciting as what's going on right here on Lee County with Lindsay, as we talk about the people, the places, the events, the organizations, all things fabulous going on in and around your community. We're starting out today with, it's just all new. It's all new and fabulous, and I am very excited to have back the Southwest Symphony, but we are bringing in some new, exciting people to talk about what's going on with Southwest Symphony. And ladies, Deb Walker as the executive director and Erin Anderson as one of the board members, the vice president of the Southwest Symphony. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Okay, so I have to say that it feels like it was just yesterday that I was talking about Southwest Symphony, but apparently not, because I know, Deb, that we are coming up on a first year anniversary in the next couple of months of you being the executive director. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you excited?
Yes, it's been wonderful.
You know, I always imagine you get into a new position, you have big ideas, you think about all of the opportunities, and then the real world hits. And you end up worrying about just how to get through the day, yeah. Right? How to learn all the things you need to learn. And all those big ideas kind of get pushed aside. It doesn't mean they disappear. It just means they kind of get pushed aside. Have you been able to pursue any of that? Or is that kind of what you're looking forward to, is maybe after a full season of Southwest Symphony that you think you'll be able to start really focusing on that aspect?
Yeah, I think I came in with some good ideas. And like you said, you want to get in there that first season and do these, but really it's just a lot, and going through the motions of learning a totally new industry, a new group of people, just a whole new world for me, that I'm like, okay, step back, just kind of enjoy the ride this yeah. first year, figure things out, be a part of the planning for the next season. Look to not implement so much changes, but just new ideas and ways to be creative and get the awareness out of what we do and what we can offer to the community. So I think this year I've kind of been, you know, in the front, but I've also just kind of been taking a back seat, letting Absolutely. My staff and my board, you know, get me through. But it's been all positive. So I don't want to make too many changes, because right. I think what we're doing is really working.
Absolutely.
I just want to see it, as we all do. We all want to see things grow and just become bigger and better, as always.
Well, Erin, yeah. How long have you been involved with the organization?
It's been about a year, too.
Okay.
Yeah, she joined right before I came on.
Came
yeah.
in yeah. together. Well, you know, and ladies, one of the things I think is great about this is you have to keep it new and fresh, mm-hmm. because the whole idea here is to be bringing new things, I think, to Lee County, to our people. But yet still, and I know this is, I've heard this over and over and over from anyone I've spoke to, you still want to keep the authenticity of what the organization was created to be about, kind of what it began as, but then yet it mm-hmm. constantly is evolving and flowing. And that's really what I think everything has to do to some degree, is continuously look to be fresh and to evolve. As a board member, I'm sure that you have, in your first year, kind of the same thought process is kind of what Deb's gone through, maybe not on a day-to-day basis, but you have new ideas, you have exciting things, but you also are learning about the organization and how it operates as a board member as well.
Right. I mean, every month we have a meeting, and you know, we have certain things we have to go through, and I don't know, sometimes ideas just don't come across in that meeting, so you have to bring it across right. in another meeting. And yeah, it's figuring out when to work on those ideas.
Right. It is kind of the magic of most organizations and the backbones of how they do operate. Now, Deb, you mentioned about just talking about Southwest Symphony as an organization. For somebody who's listening, because I'm sure there is somebody out there that may not know really what this organization represents, what the history is, and what it does, let's start there. And just as if anyone knows, that they will be appreciative probably of a summary and a recap, tell us what Southwest Symphony really is for Lee County.
Yeah, so Lindsay, there are tons of people out there that still do not know that we have this organization in our community. So when they hear the word symphony or orchestra, they just think of very classical music that just isn't relatable to a younger generation. But in reality, we are not just that. We are a blending of that. But we put on seven concerts. So in a nutshell, we put on seven concerts a year. Four of them are what we call our cultural arts series. So they're up-and-coming artists. They're different genres. They're really talented artists all over the United States and all over the world. Some of them are even regional, as you know, close as Portales and Lubbock. And then we have our three orchestra performances a year that are under the direction of Mark Jelinek, who has been our conductor for, I believe, almost 30 years. So incredible. Hobbs native.
Absolutely. Yeah. And talk about something that's working. And yes, it appears that all of that continues to function so well in that way.
Right. So really, that's, I mean, to me, there's so many bones about the symphony, but I would just say we put on seven performances a year starting in September, and then we go in through April. And then we have, oh gosh, I'm kind of getting a brain stump here. Sorry. But through the concerts, we have, do you want to take a break?
Nope.
Okay. 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 So through the concerts, we have our youth series, youth outreach program. So we make sure that we're in the schools, or we have the schools coming to us for these performances. So we have, whether they're our guest artist or we have some of our members of our orchestra going and doing residencies with the school. So.
And this has been huge. It's been going on now for several years, but this really expanded, I think, the purpose, the mission. I think at one point we looked at it as just amazing entertainment and exposure.
Right.
That would have been kind of my main words to describe it. When this whole piece and element of going into the schools, and now we talk about this, I talk about it with the 21st Century Grant, with the schools. I've talked about it in so many veins on this show, where this is one area that across the country you see a diminished amount of resources, whether it's people, money, all the above, sometimes programs just being eliminated in the school system at all ages. Lee County has done an incredible job of wherever there was that mandate, and I may be speaking out that there is not, I don't know, but then there were other ways, whether it's grants, whether it's private organizations, nonprofits that have come in now, and they have helped replace any change, any diminishment to the resources, whatever it is, to help make sure that our young people still get music education, exposure to amazing things, amazing people, talent, artists, things that they would not normally see. This to me was a huge turning point in when the Southwest Symphony became something so much more grand than maybe what our initial vision was, or a perception that may be incorrect to begin with.
Right. No, I agree. I think the benefit that we're seeing with putting the music into the classrooms on I think it's the thing that I'm the most proud of,
right,
of our organization, because I don't even know if we had that when we were in school here. If we did, I don't remember it.
I remember ta-ta-ta-ta, yes. And then I can tell you, I can sing a bunch of fabulous, like, you know, great songs. They were very much kids' songs, but I don't remember feeling like I went and watched or met artists that were something I had never seen before, but maybe on TV. Right. And a lot of kids, they don't even get that, right?
Right.
And so I'm with you. I think probably this is well beyond what our system was about when we were supplying a lot of money and funds.
Mm-hmm.
Erin, as a board member, is this something that you think is a built-in part of the mission, or do you think you have to concentrate it, you have to actually say, we want to keep doing this?
I think it's a built-in part of the mission, but I think it's something that we especially need to focus on because, like you said, the arts are kind of diminishing in the schools, and that's a passion of mine, is that, you know, that's where I found myself was choir.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's super important. But you touched on something before. You said they met the artists. When I helped at Tidings, we brought the kids in. You had the symphony members out in the lobby, out
so
talking
cool.
to the kids in the audience, showing them the instruments, playing for them. I thought that was the coolest thing.
Like a petting zoo, kind
of.
Like, that's what they call it. Like you had the big bass cello, and you had the students getting to hold the bow and make the noise. And I think that's what makes it fun, is because right. they get to see that. And at that young age, they're not seeing those instruments
absolutely
anywhere.
Yeah, I may not have been that close to any of that yes. myself as a much older adult.
Yes.
And, you know, when you talk about putting that in perspective, it's one thing to see them on a stage. They still aren't necessarily real. I mean, they're real as far as you're taking it in. But when you now are having a conversation with them, or when they're literally mm-hmm. looking you eye to eye and they're talking about, would you like to hold this bow? There is now a whole different, I think, reality of what people believe their own potential mm-hmm. is, because now it's a real person. It's somebody who isn't just kind of this almost idea up on a stage. And I think that is hugely important as well.
Yeah, I mean, the symphony, I hate to say, is intimidating.
It is.
You kind of think, you're like, oh, it's for my grandparents. Yes. I don't want to go to this, you know, right. but it's fun.
It is. The live performances, that's been, I think, the biggest thing for me, because I did not have a lot of exposure to this prior to coming on. Mm-hmm. And I just want to take it in.
Yeah.
And watching a performance that I may have not thought would have been my favorite, turns out it was the most fun. It was just high energy. And I'm like, listening to them on a CD or on YouTube, it's totally different. And then you see them live and how the way they interact with the audience, and especially with the youth, the kids' faces just light up. The elementary age, when we do it at Tidings Auditoriums for our youth series concerts in October, what's fun about that is we typically have something from Disney.
Oh, okay.
Whether I think this year was Aladdin, so they all recognize the melody from Aladdin.
Especially with the new Aladdin coming yes. out in the last
couple
probably
of years.
Very similar timing yeah. than that. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's what we do a good job of is we do have some classical music, which is what we want to have them exposed to, but then we have something they can relate to.
Right.
And then this year we featured Tubby the Tuba, which has been around for ages, and we had a narrator and told a story of Tubby the Tuba. And I think at that age, third and fourth grade, it's just very relatable, and it just makes it fun for them. So
you mentioned, and I like how you talked about, obviously, just the idea of symphony music. Some people just agree, it's my grandma's, or it's just not my thing. There's a lot of ways that that can be construed. And maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something else that's on there that you go, oh, yeah, we probably won't go to that one. That's not my thing. Mm-hmm. What I think is the most exciting about, especially when we start talking about buying season passes, which is obviously the best way to go on a financial yeah. basis for going and participating in the Southwest Symphony each year, is if you were to go to each performance, and I know sometimes that just doesn't work for various reasons with schedules, but if you bought a season pass and you went to each one, I have a feeling that you would have preconceived notions about what you were going to feel,
yes.
what you were going to like or not like. But if you committed to, I've already bought the ticket, I'm going to go, I bet 95% of the time, most people would be shocked mm-hmm. at their own responses to the ones that they had a preconceived notion about, mm-hmm. or the ones they thought they were going to love, they may have thought was really great, but in comparison now, it's ranked maybe towards the bottom of the season. That, I believe, is probably across the board for most people, because we just don't really, we're not hearing this every day.
Right. And I think that's the beauty of it, though, is that we offer something for everyone, every age, every gender, everyone, every right. race. It's just it's dynamic what we're doing. And like I said, I'm just not, I haven't been exposed to it. And now
right.
here I am, like our last concert in February, I just could not believe how fantastic his voice was. Amazing. But then you had our orchestra behind him, and they killed it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I bet there's some breathtaking moments in all of this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I would have, I just wouldn't have been exposed to that without having this opportunity of being involved in this organization.
Which I think is kind of the key to the whole organization, if you ask me, was that mm-hmm. idea of bring what the people love who love orchestra music, mm-hmm. symphony music. Don't take away from
stay.
That.
Yes. Yeah, we want them.
But also do so much more. You have an opportunity, and now there's so much success and years of what I think people have just faith in the organization. Mm-hmm. So now you're still continuing. Now let's talk about March because it's coming up and
it's here.
It is here. You're right. It is here. I can't get into it yet. I'm so sorry. In my defense, today's the first day I've had to actually say it, right? But on March 21st, you bring in the Step Crew, and I do believe they're coming back. Is that right?
Yes.
Have they been here before?
They were here in 2017.
Okay. And the picture is a bunch of tap shoes. And of course, me being the dancer of that's one of my loves and passions. Taking dance classes my basically whole life. I am so stoked to see this. I heard it was amazing. I didn't get to go the first time. I said I was going, and then it's just, you know, one thing after the other. We've got to stop making excuses.
We're busy.
That is my goal, is to stop making excuses because I'm missing out. But now I have a chance to redeem myself. Tell me a little bit about this group. You probably didn't see it the first time, Erin. I don't know if you did, that you could talk to it. I don't know how we missed it, ladies, but we cannot miss this one on March 21st, right?
We will be there.
So talk to me about what the Step Crew is going to bring.
Yeah, so just kind of a general biography about them. They are world's top talents in Irish step dancing, which we have Irish step dancing here, I think, believe through Michelic, yep. Ottawa Valley step dancing, and then modern tap. So they're a combination of all three. But then the performers are backed by a five-piece band with vocals and fiddle playing. So just think high energy dancing. It's perfect. It's right around the time of St. Patrick's
Absolutely.
Day. So
I see the connection there. I like it.
Yes.
And this is something where, again, whether it's the dance that drew me in or whether it's somebody who maybe just loves kind of that sound and you're not just going to go watch tap dancing, although trust me, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But then you're not going to go just hear fabulous orchestra music. You're not going to go just hear somebody singing. It's this amazing presentation of how those all interact. And if anybody is familiar with tap and the sound and the contribution it makes to the music, that's what I loved about tap the most, is sometimes you don't even need music. You can create your own with the rhythms and with what you're doing. But it complements the music always and every time. And I think that this show is probably a great demonstration of how those things don't have to have anything to do with each other, but how amazing it is when they all of a sudden are working in orchestra together.
Yes.
Collaborating, right?
Yes.
This group, if you want to know more, go to their website, stepcrew.com. You can see some samples of what they do, and you don't need it, but if you did need a reason to entice you, that would definitely probably do it.
Oh, I definitely think this one is going to be, it's just going to be fun.
Lots of fun.
I mean, just really lots of fun. So, and the concert is Saturday, March 21st at 7 p.m. at Tidings Auditorium.
And again, great venue. It's a beautiful facility. And I know that it holds lots of people. So that's the good news on that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to talk about tickets and prices in a minute. But I do want to hit on the last one of this season, which would be in April.
Yes.
And I see Beethoven's Playlist. It's interesting to me how a lot of people, no matter what your background in music is, you know a Beethoven song or two or three, whether you know it's a Beethoven song or not, right?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of the beauty of bringing back the classics, as I would call it? Everybody's familiar, whether you know you're familiar. They have incorporated this into all kinds of other genres and present day music. This is probably going to be really spectacular.
It's going to be phenomenal. I think this is the one that I am really excited to hear, because there's a lot of music that I think, even Erin, who knows music, you'll probably think, I didn't know that song, but I know now. I know that song,
right.
So, and that's our season finale, and it's Beethoven's 250th anniversary.
Isn't that crazy?
So, symphonies or across the world are doing something in honor of Beethoven this year.
That's awesome.
Everyone is doing something. So I think this is a great opportunity for you to come out, and that it's a perfect Sunday afternoon after church.
Right.
You know, you can just come and listen to the music and, you know,
be moved.
And just be moved. But yeah.
And Erin, again, the Southwest Symphony Orchestra does three of the performances each season. This will be their third and final. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about, as a musician, music lover, singer, I know you're all of these amazing things. What is it like when an orchestra is preparing for something that is kind of like the foundation of their being in an orchestra. Like Beethoven to me could be considered, I'm sure that everybody has their preference, but the general concept of what Beethoven represents is the foundation of the orchestra's creation.
Right. I mean, when you know you're going to play something, like in a choir, I'd be singing a requiem.
Right.
You know,
yes.
It's like, okay, this is
legit.
It's the real deal. Yeah.
And so it's just, it's something special that whether mm-hmm. you've played it before or not, it's,
right.
it's something that is ingrained. It's the symphony. It's, you're introducing it to people, and you know, it's the memories,
mm-hmm.
whether you're introducing it or they've heard it before. It's Beethoven.
It's yeah. Beethoven. And that, what a way to end your season. And then you give everybody kind of the summer off to go do their traveling. You don't want anybody to miss anything because they're
right.
too busy. And then kick it back off again in August, September?
Yeah, we will kick it off in September.
Okay.
And
all right.
The summer, we use the summer to work on sponsorships and donations and just kind of getting all of the design elements put together and finalizing contracts, you know, just all of those logistics that go into. There's a lot of work that goes into planning a season. We start planning our next season around October,
right
when we start. We
right.
start planning the following
So we bring
season.
You on to talk about this show, but you're already well ahead into all of the
yes.
shows for next season
yes.
and trying to finalize all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think people underestimate sometimes how challenging, how much effort and time, as you said. So, all right, here's the thing I want to end on. You mentioned sponsors.
Yes.
That's always a huge portion of this. And the reason that you need sponsors is because those sponsors allow you to then offer a $50 season ticket. And the way I'm connecting that is you get sponsors so that you can keep this where it's affordable, where everyone in the community could potentially be able to go, that you aren't excluding people because of it being maybe what the prices of a normal orchestra or symphony would be, or some of these other shows that they have in other places. They probably are getting significantly larger amounts at the door because they are class act shows that you're bringing in. But in order to keep the cost all relative, you collect lots of sponsors who want to support your cause. And then you're able to let people come in and enjoy it for a very minimal price. In addition to, we cannot help but remind everyone that students, you have obviously made it clear that you are all about making kids have the opportunity to be exposed. And in addition to that, you also allow kids to get in free.
Yeah.
Not just kids, college students.
And that's what I was going to say next. College students with, I believe it's with their ID.
Mm-hmm.
You show an ID and you get in free. So we're talking up to the age. Well, it's relative what age, right? But this is a large portion of the community who you want to say, just come. Just mm-hmm. come and be part mm-hmm. of it. We won't make you pay. We just want you to get to be it in the seats.
That's
yeah.
right.
No,
pretty
absolutely.
Amazing.
And $50 divided by 7 concerts is a little over $7 a concert. I mean, that is probably the cheapest entertainment. And the benefit that of the season pass is, say you missed the last concert, you can use that ticket and bring a friend to the next concert.
Oh,
because you can
very
use
nice.
Any unused tickets can be used for a future concert or give it to a friend that you maybe you can't go, but they
somebody
want to
else.
Go. I mean,
brighten somebody else's life
yeah.
with your tickets because
so
you were out of town.
Buy a season ticket now. We have 2 concerts left. You know, it's still worth it.
You can bring your
to
whole
get
family.
That season ticket.
And
yeah.
let's explain that. So $50 with two nights left, what would they pay if they're not buying the season ticket?
$20 at the door.
Right.
Yeah.
So again,
if you bring your spouse, it's $40 at the door.
Do it. Buy the season pass. And again, you're going to be able to still benefit financially, mm-hmm. but most importantly, you've locked yourself in and you can use them for someone else if something changes. And that's always what I think is really cool is if my plans change, if I do get too busy or if I get sick, as you can imagine might happen with listening to me, then it's okay because someone else will get to go and have their world made to be a better place that day because of getting to be part of this. It is really an incredible organization. I am applauding everyone who's had a hand in it and who continues to believe in it and keep it thriving. And this season, I think, is going to wrap up another great season. And then we'll look forward to talking about next season. What is it that you'd like to say as the executive director, Deb, about just wanting people to continue to support it by either financially being part of it or just by attending? Because attendance is just as important.
Oh, I think we appreciate all of our past donors, current donors, future donors. But for me, I want to see people come and experience what we have to offer.
Right.
It is world class. You cannot get this kind of entertainment in a big city. You would have to pay double, triple. You'd have to pay to drive there. You'd have to fight traffic to get out of the parking lot. So I really just want people to come experience it. We want youth to come. We want the students to come. We want their parents to bring them. I just want to see people smiling and happy when they walk out of the doors after a concert and tell us how great it was.
And that happens every time.
Every time. No one ever says that.
Yeah, that was not. Wow, why did I come to that? Yeah, you haven't heard that.
It's amazing. It's amazing what, you know, we're a small staff and what we're able to do with, and we have a small board. We have a fantastic board, but what we're able to do and bring in, I just want people to come and experience it and walk away feeling like they had a great night out and they, you know, for, you know, $7.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always give this example, but I could waste that much on a Coke and some cheese sticks at my favorite drive-thru. So, yeah, I mean, it's incredible when you start talking about how affordable y'all have made this. And Erin, as a board member, is there anything else that you'd like to add? Because I know that, honestly, Deb did a great job of kind of summarizing all the pieces, but this is about getting people to experience the arts and getting people to experience all the amazing variety that is out there as it relates to not only the symphony, but music and entertainment and that kind of thing. So I know for you as a person who really has so much passion about it, I'm sure that's why you devote your time to being on the board. But is there anything special you'd like to say as to what you want to encourage people to, why they should maybe participate in whatever method they choose?
Well, and I just think we've touched on it before, is that there's a wide range of what we present. You know, the Step Crew involves dancing and music.
Right.
But we had Artrageous come in last year, mm-hmm. and they did painting on stage.
So
and,
cool.
you know, it's mm-hmm. just arts can inquire in just everything. It's right. everything. Arts are everything.
It's all inclusive.
Right.
It really is.
So it's so affordable. It's so worthwhile. And it's right here in Hobbs.
Right.
Go support the Southwest Symphony. If you have more questions, if you want more information, the website is?
So our website is swsymphony.org. If you go to it right now, it's under construction.
That's okay.
Yay, we're building a new website.
Now that's why she gave me that smile when I said that. Facebook's still up?
Facebook is still up and Instagram is still up.
Okay,
so just
awesome.
Look for Southwest Symphony and you can buy tickets online. Currently, like I said, it's under construction. So, but you can find us, Southwest Symphony, on Facebook. That's everyone. If you're not on Facebook, you're on Instagram.
Right.
So,
yeah. And if not, if you Google it, something will come up.
Yeah,
right?
Something will come up.
And you can get those tickets. Obviously, March 21st is the next performance that we talked about at Tidings. You can get them in advance, which is what you should probably do for your season ticket pass.
Yes.
But you can buy it at the door.
Yes.
You can still bring the kids for free. You can still bring your college age friends for free. I mean, what a cool thing that a bunch of college kids could just go to a symphony performance for free. And I mean, that's so awesome.
Go and have dinner before and then go and.
Awesome.
Watch a concert. I mean, it's a fun night.
It's a win-win for everybody. And ladies, I appreciate you both being here.
Thanks,
and all you do for the organization. There it is. I knew it was going to have to happen. And I thank you for sharing not only your passion, but the passion that we all can ignite within us. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
For having us.
All right, folks, we will be back in just a moment with some more great guests on Lee County with Lindsay.
Want a career in the entertainment industry? New Mexico Junior College has a new degree in entertainment and music technology. Students will learn live sound production, video production, multimedia production, and much more. We have new state-of-the-art recording studios and computer labs for hands-on training. Job opportunities include production for concerts, theater, movies, videos, and other careers. To learn more about this exciting degree, call 575-492-2885 and discover a whole new career. Entertainment and Music Technology degree at New Mexico Junior College. For more information, go to nmjc.edu.
And we are back, and thanks so much to Southwest Symphony and Deb and Erin for coming in and visiting with us about the remaining season they have, the two performances this season, and really kind of highlighting the look back at this past season and how they are attacking and getting ready for next year. So we will be very excited to have them back when they can talk about and promote all of the next season of the Southwest Symphony. Now we are going to shift gears, but we are staying in the same vein of fabulous music. I am excited to introduce some new guests who I have not had the pleasure of having on the show yet, but I know it's going to be a lot of fun getting to talk about them and their big things they're doing to bring to Lee County. And Jorge and Ama, it is such a pleasure to have you both, the Guerras, who are here to talk about all that you have got going on with a business you started several years ago. And I just got to say, I'm super stoked because I know y'all been working really hard at trying to make something happen that is maybe not what we're used to as far as entertainment in Hobbs and in Lee County. Is that fair, Jorge, to say that that's kind of what you're, what brought all this about?
I think that's what, you know, that's what started it all. We were looking at something that, to bring something to the community that was not a scene or not popular or, you know, they hadn't happened before.
Right.
And that's what started, you know, started it all, that we wanted to combine, join forces and just bring something to fulfill a niche, you know, something different to the community.
And I want to kind of tell me, y'all can stop me whenever, but I think it's an interesting story. Obviously, you're married, and you have been in Hobbs, I think, from what I know, at least you, your whole life. I'm assuming, Alma, that you've been here forever as well.
Yes.
Is that true? So you've got this family, and you've got amazing children, and you have jobs. And then all of a sudden, one day back in, I'm going to guess around 2010 or 11, you go, we don't have enough going on. We want to create another business that helps us be able to do what you just described. Tell me how Impacto Jag Promotions, how did you actually go about creating this? They're going, you know, it's actually a really long story, but
I think it started off at church. Jorge, of course, he's the worship pastor there, and pastor there at church wanted more events, and especially musical side. So we started, Jorge started thinking outside of the box, especially for the Hispanic community, to be able to bring artists to this area just because it's so rural. And every time we bring somebody, it's the same thing. Wow, we've never been to this side of the world. And we wanted to make a difference and really help bring Christian music to this area, just because here a lot of it's country,
right?
And in Spanish, norteño, cumbia, ranchero music. So it's to hear actual Christian contemporary worship music come down here. He wanted to open up, you know, people's eyes and say, hey, there's more to music than just what we're used to hearing.
Because once somebody knows that there's something that works, then they do keep bringing it back. Mm-hmm. And that's great, right? But what I hear you say is you knew there was something out there that maybe no one even realized existed. It was big in other places, and you wanted to be able to help bring it here because you believed it had great potential once people realized it even existed.
Definitely. It started with, you know, working with Pastor Fabian Senna, and I coordinated a couple of events there at church. And in 2012, we had the first concert that I coordinated. It was, you know, learn and go and all that.
I call that flying by the seat of my pants.
Exactly.
Right?
So mm-hmm. I didn't really know. You just don't know what's going to happen.
That's right.
So then we made it free to the community.
Okay.
Our capacity at church is, you know, comfortably it's about 350. Well, 500 people showed up.
Oh, which is a great problem to have.
Great. Yeah. So we're all running, getting chairs and putting people on the, you know, against the walls and everything. So then that night I was talking to my wife, Alma, and my wife, and I was saying, you know, there might be something here. I think we need to maybe look, and like she was saying, thinking outside the box and getting outside of the church walls.
You know, right.
Making it
right
independent to where anybody who wants to go can go.
But do you continue to focus, even though you moved it outside of the structure of the church walls, is it always still Christian music?
Yes. You know, there's plenty of concerts here at Event Center.
Right.
I think on one of the events in 2013, if I'm not mistaken, we had it here at Castor.
Uh-huh, it says that. Yep. Yep.
And that same night, Vanilla Ice was here at the
Event
Center. So we were here And, you know, I just, you know, give glory to God. And you know, I know it's his favor, but I think our attendance was higher
than Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice. In an interesting way, you know.
As people who I know are the same age as I am in general, that could have been a really big draw, right?
Right.
And that's great. But to know that you probably exceeded even that, you got to feel some pride. And you also have to have a lot of faith in that you're bringing something people really want. That's got to feel great.
It's just a different message. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not, and I respect, you know, everybody's beliefs and everything like that.
Right.
But we just want to bring something that will bring just hope and faith. And you might be going through that specific time in your life that you just don't know what's next, and you might be in the lowest of lows, which also led me to we bring a musical group, but I also always bring a comedian.
Oh, a duo. I mean, you bring two in one, the acts always, or they're one, they have a comedian in their act. Which is it?
No.
You bring the two acts together every time.
We've done
yes. Pretty much every year, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me the thinking behind that, because I personally believe that comedians are some of the absolute thing that we do not have come into Lee County that we should. Everybody needs to laugh a little more in life, right? We need to be able to have those moments to make everything that is so tough and challenging and real. We just need a place to go and kind of not think about it. So I love comedians. So this has probably been a huge hit all on its own. And see, I didn't even realize you brought that in.
Yeah, I think what ended up happening is we needed an MC.
Okay.
And I mean, Jorge is great at talking and socializing. And I said, you know what? We need to try something different.
Right.
We need to entertain them. So he met this a pastor from Las Vegas several years ago at another event, I think in Dallas, right?
2006.
In 2006. So he said, what if we bring him? And I was like, that's a great idea. I was like, I love to laugh.
Right.
And Horst is a great comedian as well. I was like, but we need to shake things up. So he invited him. And to our surprise, he said, yeah, sure, I'll be willing to go down. And every year, I mean, we've brought him and another comedian over to help really just stir up the situation and just give a positive laugh to people, because that's what we need nowadays.
I think that is genius, because you do need an MC. And as somebody who gets asked to do things because I'm loud and obnoxious and I talk a lot, you know, so they think that works well, and I'm grateful people think that. But I know sometimes if I go to do the same event too many times, I feel like I'm even stale. Even if I'm trying to provide something new, I'm like, these people are probably sick of hearing me talk at this event, right? So I think your idea of bringing somebody new and fresh in is great. But then to bring somebody who's actually going to provide an opportunity for you to feel like you're getting two shows in one.
No, definitely.
I mean, that's awesome.
I'm gonna go take this one. We had a call from a lady in Albuquerque, the one that the mom.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're gonna be the band that we're bringing. They're gonna be in Denver, Colorado. I think the following week, if I'm not mistaken.
The 27th. That's correct. Yep.
She's in Albuquerque, so, you know, the distance, I think it's the same.
Right.
She goes to Denver.
Trying to decide which one to go to.
And I think her pastor's like, we should go to Denver. And then she called us, right?
Yes. So we get a call from this lady, and she wanted to find out more information about the event. And, of course, lodging here, places to eat. And one of the things that Jorge had brought up is like, where are you from? We always ask.
Oh,
We're interested in knowing where from New Mexico or Texas they're coming from. And when she said Albuquerque, he's like, well, you know, they're going to be in Denver. It's probably closer. So she said, no, I want to go see this comedian, Pastor Yoyito. My mother passed away not too long ago, and I've done nothing but crying and grieving. I want to laugh.
I need an opportunity.
So when we told him about that, he was ecstatic. He was so excited. He's like, wow, you know, I love hearing that people want sunshine in their life,
Absolutely.
You know, because she's been grieving so much. So I thought, oh, good, there's one for, you know, the comedian.
Well, and I'm sure there's more that you don't necessarily hear about, but I bet there's a lot of people who they literally do look at it as the price of admission is, you know, twice or three times if you've got the second comedian, as big as what they maybe thought they were getting in the first place. So I think that's incredible.
We've heard, you know, stories throughout the years of the concerts that we've done. Last year I recorded an album myself, written songs, you know, through experiences and things like that. So last year I was part of the opening act.
Oh, cool.
So I sang and we brought a comedian. And some people were saying, well, a comedian from where's McAllen? South Texas. And so he's Tex-Mex, you know, his accent and everything is hilarious. So we had some people say that they didn't even come necessarily for the band.
They actually came for the comedian. Which you're great with.
No, it's,
yeah, right?
You know,
whatever gets you there.
They came to the event, and I think one of the stories that most touched us the most is when we heard that family had attended our event, and we heard that from a friend. I think Sandra and Augie Borner Borner Supply. Mm-hmm. They actually gave them their some of their tickets so they can sit a little closer. My thing is all the sponsors, I sit them up front.
I
think it's only
fair. Makes sense. Yeah.
It's only fair.
Yeah. That's pretty standard anyways.
So they met this person and they gave them a couple tickets to sit a little closer. Long story short, they laughed and cried. The family was so excited about the event. They had a great time. And they told them that they had just found out that their little girl was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
So, their faith and everything was diminishing. You know, you just don't – what are you going to do? So all they can hang on, and all we can hang on sometimes is to our faith and our trust and just hope and just believe in God and he's going to help us through this. So they said that they, after so many months of crying and their faith had been built up, they had laughed like never before and things like that. So that's something that's why we called, picked the name Impacto, which is impact.
Yep.
And, our goal for this event is to, all faiths are welcome. We're not, we don't stop anyone. We atheists, anything. You want to come and laugh.
You want to be part of this entertaining night, then come get it.
The comedian talks about everything of, husbands, wives, kids, experiences, right. And everything. So you name it.
Well, and so I introduced it as talking about bringing in great music entertainment. But really, when we listen to those stories that you just told, not only is this a great opportunity to listen to amazing musicians, not only is it a great opportunity to potentially expose yourself to great Christian music, now you've added in getting to laugh and feel really good by listening to some professional comedians who are coming into Hobbs. And then really, ultimately, all of that seems like nothing compared to the idea of it might just be the difference in giving you that kind of that getting away from maybe the heaviness of life, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a certain story that's like this unfortunate, horrible thing where they're having to deal with their child and cancer, or maybe it's they've lost a family member, or maybe you just had a really tough couple of months. Life has not been going your way. It's been a lot of struggle, mm-hmm. and you just need something, mm-hmm. and you think you're going for entertainment, and by the time it's all said and done, you were moved in a way that helped get you back on your feet or helped reinstill your faith. Or maybe it just gave you a moment to kind of take a breath and go, you know what? It's all going to be okay. Whatever it is, we need opportunities like this in our community. And you guys are providing it on a consistent basis. And this year, it sounds like you are super excited about this band. So Miel San Marcos, mm-hmm. okay. Tell me a little bit about them and why you are super stoked about getting to have them come.
I'll let Alma kind of...
Read a little bio.
Help us understand
who they are and how really cool okay. this is.
Miel is probably, they're from Guatemala,
okay.
first of all, and mm-hmm. from a town called San Marcos.
Okay.
Miel, word for honey, that was the name of their father's church over there. So they kind of just put it together and all of a sudden they got known as Miel San Marcos. Well, they're going to be coming down here the 22nd of March, and they'll be at the Tidings Auditorium. And they're the number one Spanish Christian worship group at the moment in all of Latin America for all Hispanics. And they've won 3 Dove Awards, a Gospel Music Association, a Christian Grammys. So they've had even Latin Grammy nominees. And, I mean, praise God, up to this moment, we've already sold a little over 1,000 tickets.
Oh, that's incredible.
And you know, seeing somebody of this impact come into our community. I mean, it took a while to get them down here because they're so busy.
Hobbs, what? Southeast New Mexico, huh?
Yeah. So when they get here, it's funny to see all these big Hispanic well-known musicians come in. They're like, oh my gosh, it's little here. Like, yeah. And then the smell alone, right?
Right.
Those of us that aren't, you right. know, from we don't Lee know County. It,
but yes. And you tell them that's the smell of money, right?
Yeah, we're like, sure it's
black, you say black gold.
Black gold,
black
that's right.
gold.
So to just as an, I mean, the awards alone that you just talked about, Alma, mm-hmm. are very much indicative of how incredibly talented and very successful and well-known these people are. But mm-hmm. Jorge, you've been very excited about when you look at their tour. Mm-hmm. That you are one of how many stops? Is this eight?
Yeah, this is their 20th anniversary as a band.
Wow.
So their goal is 20, you know, celebrating 20 years, they're visiting 20 countries.
Wow.
So they're kicking it off in the U.S.
But they're doing limited amount mm-hmm. in the U.S. because they got to go hit 19 other countries.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you know, we're part of the first round. And if you look at the cities, it's just, we look at it, every time we see it, we laugh.
Well, you laugh, and I just go, oh my goodness, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Georgia, Indianapolis, Salt Lake City, Utah, San Jose, California, Hobbs, America, Denver, Colorado, Phoenix, Arizona. Those are the stops. Hobbs is one of eight stops that they're doing in the U.S. for the first part of this 20-year anniversary tour. I mean, that's incredible. Yeah. And you talk about venues. I was raving actually in the segment before this about Southwest Symphony doing their event at Tidings and what a beautiful facility it is, how very fortunate we are to have it. And now you're going to be, you threw out where these people have been recording albums and things like that, and huge convention centers and arenas. Mm-hmm. We're going to have them at our very own Tidings Auditorium. Yes. Like, how cool, right?
Definitely, definitely.
Okay, you said, Alma, that you've already sold close to 1,000 or over 1,000 tickets, mm-hmm. which is amazing, because I don't know what y'all's experience is, but my experience about Lee County is we don't do anything that far in advance. This is still 3 weeks out, mm-hmm. so the fact that you've got that many people committing is incredible. How many tickets do you have to sell?
It's 2,000. I was meeting with Tanya and Jason from the radio at City, and Jason's like, how many have you pre-sold?
Right.
You
know, he was as shocked as I am.
Yeah, he's like, wait a minute. You know, that everybody buys them that week. Here. You know, he's like, promoters are always calling me all stressed out and scared and what's going on, you know? And he's like, don't worry. It's Lee County. You know, they're...
Yeah, that's our whole, you know, manana. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're, you know, I'm a warrior, you know, with an O.
Yes.
You know, Alma's a warrior with an A.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm like, wait a minute, there's 2,000, you know, seats available, and we're only halfway there. And she's like, no, are you kidding me? Jonathan Senna's always, you know, laughing at. He's like, are you kidding me? He's done some events, and he's like, that's amazing. I said, so
okay,
we're
excited.
Well,
I'm another one on your list of people who's amazed that you've already sold that many, and I think that's very indicative of how successful this is going to be. I know that you're getting the word out. I know that's part of it, and we're super glad that you were able to do that here. I know that it's going to be a really cool event for us to get to be able to share something that, again, it's just doesn't come to Hobbs and Lee County very often. You guys only do one a year, is that right? Just one big production a year, pretty much?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah.
Do it and do it right.
That's all I can have.
I believe that.
I'm the mic. I'm the microphone. I do the talking with the bands and the arrangements. Alma does all the coordinating.
Yeah,
and
which I'm going to tell you is the hard part, right?
logistics.
Right?
She'll tell you that day I disappear. The day of the concert, I'm like, hey, the band's here. I'm out. You know, I'm out. So she's always the one, you know, getting the headaches at there at the event and the tickets and all that good stuff. So
well, I think
she can tell you she's a witness. After every event, she wants to retire.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do this again. Yeah. But then you see the happy faces. You hear the stories about lives that were touched by having the opportunities, mm-hmm. things that they got to feel, experiences they had. And I'm sure it's all very well worth it. I just want to say thank you for, to me, this story, especially you guys being homegrown, having lives outside of this that you didn't have to add this onto your plate, but you wanted to be able to make our community just a little bit better for the residents and for guests. And I'm sure you will bring in a ton of people from out and around in the region that'll come for this. It's a benefit to our community. And I just want you to know that we do appreciate you for looking bigger, for wanting to do more, and for not settling for just what we have or maybe what we want without making it an option. So kudos to you for that.
It's been a challenge, and it's you know, you always don't know what to expect,
right?
And just God's been faithful, and things have always, you know, been looking up, and it's funny, we keep hearing stories of a lot of events, Christian events, Spanish Christian events in Albuquerque that kept getting canceled.
Oh, because is that right?
Things don't work out, or I don't know, the promoters do something different, or they move it to a different city. And
well, that's why you have to have Albuquerque come to Hobbs.
So exactly, that's exactly what's happening.
What a cool thing, though, to be able to know that it's not working for whatever reason, not that we wish them bad, but it's not working, and now you guys are being able to provide that same need, that same want. Mm-hmm. Those people are like, hey, we'll drive, we'll come to Hobbs to see you. So I think that's just a cool... It's a great story, you guys. It's a great story.
There was a negative comment on one of our Facebook posts, right, about that lady that said, well, you know, I don't know about I don't know about going over there because I don't know about Impacto in Hobbs. What is that?
And
from Albuquerque. Uh-huh. And
somebody set her straight, didn't they?
Well, yeah, what ended up happening was the band that we brought last year, they were trying to take to Albuquerque. And it got canceled, and she never got her money back.
Oh,
so
I
she
see.
Was very upset, and she said, I don't know if I should trust you guys bringing this huge group down to this little bitty tiny city compared to Albuquerque.
Did you say, hey, those people not knowing how to take care of business has nothing to do with us?
We believe it or not, we didn't even say anything. People automatically replied and said, no, we've been to their events, and
they're
amazing.
From Albuquerque, they were saying, hey, we went last year.
Really?
We were there.
Look at y'all. You'll have a whole, you have an entire army of people out there supporting you in all areas. I mean, that's huge, though, guys, that talk about doing it and doing it right. And it sounds like y'all are doing it right, and we're better for it as a community. So it's very cool. Jorge and Alma Guerra, it's so nice to have you. Thank you so much for bringing your passion to our community, and thanks for sharing it today on our show. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
It's been a great first week of March kickoff for Lee County with Lindsay, and of course, we'll have great things coming in the weeks to come. But please do take note that I do think the time changes this weekend. Does anybody know that for sure? I could look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's Saturday night, Sunday morning. Sunday. We spring forward, so I'm going to remind you of that, so it's on your calendar to be prepared so you're not late to wherever you need to be on Sunday. But more importantly, go ahead and get your tickets to this amazing concert. Where can they get the tickets? We didn't hit that.
They can go to online. It's Impacto.
Okay.
Impact with an O at the end. ImpactoPromos.com, and that's where they can get their tickets. And the event is March 22nd here at Tidings, and we begin at 7 o'clock, and just be ready to have a great time. And if you understand even some Spanish, I know you're gonna have a blast.
But even if you don't understand Spanish, well, the comedian might be hard to get the laughs in if you don't understand Spanish. Yeah. But the music, I have a feeling, will talk to you regardless.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, yeah. It's different styles. We're bringing also Raul Sanchez from Laredo, Texas.
Oh, okay.
He's a Tex-Mex. Accordion player.
Oh.
But he's not your typical accordion player. He does a lot of cumbia style, Colombian style music.
Excellent.
Tropical sound. So he's going to be the opening act. And of course, we're going to give the MC, the comedian, you know, whatever he wants to. Last time he was talking about me and whatever. So I'm like, well, if they laughed, you can throw me in there.
As long as it worked, yeah, right?
So we expect to see everybody there.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'd love to have everybody there.
Awesome. Well, we do appreciate you. And folks, I appreciate you tuning in today. If you didn't catch it live on KNMJ 100.9 FM, you can always catch us. Our podcast will be posted, and you can get a link to that on our Facebook page, Lee County with Lindsay. I am Lindsay Chisholm-McCarter. Have a beautiful day, Lee County.